Our scripture lesson from the Old Testament today is from Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 34. And you can find this on page 21 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Paddan Aram, sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is to be this way, why do I live?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger." When her time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy mantle. So they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, with his hand gripping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff, for I am famished." Therefore, he was called Edom. Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." Esau said, "I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. And our New Testament scripture comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And this you can find on page 157 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Romans 8, 1 through 11. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Have the Spirit life of Christ. Have the Spirit of life, Christ. This month, we've dealt with freedom. And we've looked at Romans chapter 6, select verses, Romans chapter 7, and now we're into Romans chapter 8. And some of the commentators say that Romans chapter 8 is probably one of the most powerful, illustrative of God's love and mercy, and a real source of peace and comfort to all of us. And how does it start? There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Because that is where we're supposed to be. And not just in Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ in us. Now, how in the world do we do that? We receive communion at the beginning of each month. His body given, the blood shed. We receive that. We consume that. It becomes part of our essence in the spiritual as well as the physical. The consecrated elements are not just bread and fruit of the vine. They're the body given, the blood shed. Because you have Christ in you, from your baptism, as we renew the vows of baptism, as we participate and receive the blessing of the sacraments, we re-energize, renew, reinvigorate that presence of Christ Jesus in our lives. When we come and worship, we sing great songs of praise. Hallelujah. The words come out of our mouths about how great and glorious God's power is in our lives. It's not a spirit of condemnation. That's a spirit of life. In Romans chapter 6, what do we have? We have sin, which each and every one of us, through Adam, is guilty of. And the wages of sin is what? Death. Opposite the wages of sin, which the law is there, it shows us what we shouldn't do. Jesus says, when they ask him what the Ten Commandments, what's the greatest of the Ten Commandments? He says, thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. He doesn't usurp the law, he rephrases the law. Tells you rather than don't do this, he tells you to do this. In Romans 7, we feel again this tenuous challenge for us dealing with how sin is in our lives, but we don't have to be prisoners of sin because there's grace. As grace abounds in chapter 6, so is grace present and evident in our lives in chapter 7. In verse 8, we look at there's no condemnation. Now, that's not to say that everything's fine, hunky-dory, just go on doing whatever you're doing. Well, Romans 8, chapter 1, what does that say? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. There's a caveat there. There's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Did you do that? Did you meet the requirements of the law? No. God, through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, has set us free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Who did that? Did you do it? God did. Through God, Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we have that redemption. Peterson says it like this, the verse 3 piece. God went for the jugular when he sent his own Son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his Son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by the fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. Another reading to the scripture, but think about this. You and I can never meet the requirement of the law. And if we can't meet the requirement of the law, where does that leave us? Dead. God loves us. Does he want us dead? In death? Eternal death? Everlasting death? No, he wants us in everlasting life. How much does he love us? How much is he willing to do? What's anything worth? Nothing is worth anything more than what someone else is willing to pay for it. What's your life worth? What's your everlasting life worth? Every drop of Jesus Christ's blood, born on a cross, for him? No, for you and for me. We talk about flesh and we talk about spirit. Now, that's not just, as Paul talks about in Romans 8, these first 11 verses. He doesn't speak strictly of flesh as in the flesh, flesh and blood. But also, flesh is a point of view, how we look at things and our human nature. We can say that, well, you know, I'm just doing what is my nature. So I get a pass on that, right? Because I'm just doing kind of what I was born to do, right? No. We're supposed to be, we have freedom of choice. We recognize that what we want to do, as Paul said in Romans 7, the good that I would do, that I don't do. That I would not do, I would do. Oh, woe is me. But thanks be to God through Christ Jesus that I can overcome that. In other words, I don't have to live in the bondage of sin. I can accept that redemption and grace of God through Jesus Christ and live into grace, live into an everlasting life. Does that mean I'm going to be perfect? No. Every day I wake up, Val gave me a poem that Khaki has that says something about how thankful that person is that they've not sinned, that they've not done anything bad, that they've not hurt anyone, and in a few minutes they're going to be getting out of bed. Because as soon as we get up, as soon as we walk out that door, something's going to happen. And there's either going to be something we should have done that we don't do, something we shouldn't have done that we do. So, that flesh and blood, from the human point of view, in all its weakness and vulnerability, and if you want to look at that, you can read Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Galatians 5, 19 through 21 deal with licentiousness, all of these types of things, the weaknesses of the human, of the flesh. It's interesting that right after that, 22 to 25 are what? Fruit of the Spirit. Just as here we have flesh versus spirit. Flesh versus humanity versus spirit, which is Holy Spirit. And also, when Paul and writers mention spirit, it's pneuma is the word. Pneuma in the Greek is air or wind. And it's always associated with, generally associated with, this roaring, rushing, powerful force. It's not just a wind. Ruach, the Hebrew, that breath with Jesus, when God breathes into Adam, breathes life into Adam, that breath of God, that breath of life, that's the same word that's used for Spirit. So when we have the Holy Spirit, we have that roaring, rushing, powerful Holy Spirit wind, and we also have that life that comes with that. That what is an antidote, as we said, grace is an antidote or a suppressor of sin. So is grace and the Spirit a suppressor of death. We have a requirement. If we live by the flesh and set our minds on things of the flesh, we're moving into verses 5. What do we get? Death. But for those who live according to the Spirit, their minds are set of things of the Spirit. And if we're set on the Spirit, we have a choice. We don't get to choose something in the middle. We have to choose left or right. We have to see, are we going to live of the flesh or are we going to live of the Spirit? Are we going to be prisoners to sin or are we going to be slaves of grace? Are we going to live under God or are we going to live under humanity? Which law do you want to follow? To set the mind on the flesh is death. Set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Now there's evidence that's going to be given. You know, that 5:25, Galatians 5, 22-25, we see the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, not fruits of the Spirit. And there are 9 listed, and that's not the only 9 that are fruit of the Spirit. They just list some of them. There are more. But if you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in you, and anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Verse 10 and 11. But if Christ is in you, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We're not made righteous because of anything that we're done. We're not made right-wise with God by anything that you and I can do. We're made right-wise because of what Christ Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago. Love and grace. It's for us to accept that. Law convicts us of our sin because we see what we should have done, shouldn't have done, should have done. We can see that. We're convicted. We know what we should have done, what we shouldn't have done. We're convicted. In conviction, we confess that we've done what we shouldn't have done, didn't do what we should have done. And we ask for forgiveness. And we accept that forgiveness, and then we live into that Holy Spirit that's the presence of Christ Jesus that's with us, that gives us what? A spirit of life. And what? A life just a little bit? Anybody want a little bit of life or do you want a whole abundant life? Do you want a little life or a little life? When I looked at those flowers last week, I mean, those sunflowers were bright and brilliant and just, boy, I'll tell you what, I like those big, bright, beautiful. Those were sunflowers, right? Oh, okay. It's like, okay, I don't even know what the flowers were, but they were big and they were beautiful. Holy moly. That's what I want. I don't want a little bit of life. I want that whole big, bright, beautiful, everlasting life. And the only way I get that, there's one way, one truth, and one life. And there's only one way unto the Father, and that's through Christ Jesus. Now, am I saying, you got to follow my way? No, I'm saying you have to follow Jesus' way. For surely, If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through His Spirit that dwells in you. Live it. Breathe it. Shalom.